right, plug it in every night, 6 to 10, right here at 97.5, The Fanatic, 610-632-0975. 8 o'clock, coming to you from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast, along with Tyler Zuli. My name is Devon Givens. Some good conversation because Brett Brown has put it out there that Ben Simmons has been playing basically the four spot. He's the four man for this team as of right now. Shake Milton getting the rock at the point guard spot. How do you guys take this? What do you guys think overall about the move thus far? Is this something that we're going to see long term, or will it eventually go back to what we've been accustomed to since Ben Simmons has been on the floor since 2017 with him as the primary point guard for this basketball team? 610-632-0975. And how do you use him? How do you use him? You just heard me talking about the Draymond Green method. Jay likes it, but doesn't think he does anything well enough. The fact that you have Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and even Kevin Durant for those few seasons in Golden State, that stuff works out for Draymond Green. He doesn't believe also. I love Jay. That's why we always talk. And you know how we do it. We argue like D and I did at the very top. And it's cool. You can have your difference of opinion, the same thing. I have my difference of opinion. But to say that he doesn't do anything well is just ridiculous. And Jay knows it. He can't give it up. The only time there was one game Simmons had where he was tremendous. And Jay said, you know what? He actually played a good game tonight. I'm like, yo, he's an all-star. Let's not ignore that. And it's not fake. You know how we talk about the Pro Bowl and stuff and be like, oh, that's just a popularity contest. This is not a popularity contest with Ben Simmons. He's not voted in by the fans. The coaches vote him in. His peers give him votes for things. He's going to be an all-defensive team member, first or second team. And that's real. He earned that. That is warranted. Right? So it's not like he doesn't do... Let's run off the things he does well. Ty, let's do this together before we get to Drew and Fred, Corey, Brian, Aaron, Kurt. All right, one, I'm not even going to start with defense because that's defense. Nobody worries about him on defense. It's about the offensive side. All right, so he's non-shooter, right? Non-shooter. But what else does he do well? He's a very good passer. Not a great passer, but a very good passer.
Yep.
In this league. He's a good ball handler. I don't think he's great. I think he's a good ball handler.
Yeah, I think that's probably pretty fair. There are some turnover mistakes still.
When he does it aggressively, which is why I say aggressive Ben Simmons is the best Ben Simmons, he is a very good finisher at the rim. Right?
I think he might be great.
Okay.
When he's aggressive, I think he might be great.
Okay. So we have so far, he's a very good passer. You're saying a great finisher, a good ball handler. I think that he has offensively great instincts for the game. IQ can be questioned at times because he makes dumb turnovers, leaving his feet, that type of stuff, all that. I'll give you a great offensively in transition when he has the ball in his hands. And what am I missing? Because right there, I already said the IQ. The one thing that we're missing, of course, is the shooting. And he's not a good enough free throw shooter right now. So those are his two flaws. Non-shooter. Not great free throws. Those are two things that are flaws on his offensive resume as a player in this league. So those other things that he makes him an all-star, and forget about the defense, that make those offensive things right there still gives you 16 points a game, 8 boards, 7 assists. That's not a good player in this league. Come on, Jay.
It's not a good player in this league. It's a great player in this league.
I don't know about great yet.
I'm closer than you are.
Yeah, he's not great yet. He has to do more for me to be great.
Okay.
He does these things very, very good to still make up for the issues that he has. He's not great yet. He has plenty of room to be great. He's a great defender.
I think this goes back to the conversation that you and I had a couple of weeks ago when we talked about elite versus great versus good.
Yes.
And I think that when it came down to it, your elite list was a little bit larger than my elite list, but my great list was a lot larger than your great list.
So where does he fall?
I think he's great.
I think he's good. Very good. I am very good.
I think that he is significantly above good in enough categories to make him great.
I think he's very good. I think Embiid is great, but he has a chance to be elite. He holds himself back from being elite.
That I agree with.
Same thing with Simmons being great. He holds himself back from being great.
I think Embiid is top tier great.
Yes.
If you were to like tier within the tier. And I think that Ben Simmons is low tier great right now.
Okay. All right.
Closer to good than elite, obviously, but I think he is in that great tier.
Okay. All right. I disagree. I mean, maybe people want to jump in on that. I disagree. I don't think he's great yet. I think he's good. I think he's pretty good. He's just not great yet. He has room to improve to make himself a great player. 610-632-0975. Drew, we'll get to the matchup for Aaron in a minute. Let's go to next, Drew in Westchester on the Fanatic. What's up, Drew?
Hey, Devon. How you doing tonight, man?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm doing great. So, yeah, I kind of agree with you. I think Ben is on the very good level. He's not great yet, but I think he has the potential to be great.
Yep.
And that's why I kind of like this move to put him at the power forward position, because they got a few games here to play with it, and I think they can, you know, see what happens and then go from there. As far as seeing, you know, the development at that position. But like what you said earlier, I kind of see him as kind of a positionless player as well, you know, because I think he can do pretty much all, you know, a little bit of everything except, you know, that jump shot, you know, and that's when, you know, he can, you know, dish the ball off to Embiid in the inside, or if he has to the outside to Shake or to Korkmaz or somebody like that. But his ball control, I mean, it's second to none. I mean, you can't question the ability that he has with his ball control and his passing ability. Everyone gets on the shooting aspect of things, but overall, I mean, and his defense as well. I mean, he's definitely a very, very good player. Right on, like what you know, Tyler said, maybe a tier one great player.
So you said his ball handling, you think it's very, very good.
I do. I mean, I know he makes some stupid turnovers at times, but I mean, I think he's trying to force some plays, but, I think he's got a good eye for things, and, you know, sometimes there's just, you know, those plays just don't work out for him, and, you know, it's a bummer, but at least he's always looking, you know, he's always got his eyes on the court and his position and the other players around him. And that's what I think makes a great player, is someone who can read the court and read, you know, and anticipate, you know, where those guys are going to go.
Hmm. Okay, man. And how do you see Shake faring out in this whole deal? Because the scouting report will be on him. It's the playoffs. And
yeah,
there's going to be
a lot of
attention.
Pressure. Yeah, it's a lot of pressure for Shake. And I think, you know, again, they've got a few games to play with it to see if he can, you know, step up to the plate. And I think he can. I think, you know, he's going to do a good job. And I think Brett Brown is definitely, you know, he's not, I don't think he's a fool. I think he's got some idea what he's doing here. So I think it's going to work out well. And like I said, we got 8 games to see. And if it doesn't work out, then we can always go back. I'm just hoping this is going to move with desperation. You know what I mean?
If it's more desperation, like we had the caller earlier to start things off with D saying Ben Simmons had his spot taken, I think it's more about Al Horford not fitting into what they wanted to do with him.
And that could be true too as well. Yeah.
Because if there was anything that was going to happen, I would think the first thing, if I had to choose between Al Horford starting again and all of that, I mean, it all goes in hand in hand, but Ben Simmons would be the one to get his spot back, just like Al Horford, and the ball would be in Simmons' hands.
Well, we'll see what happens these next 8 games, Devon. You know, it could very, very well be what happens in the playoffs. We'll see.
You got it, man. Thanks, man.
All right, buddy.
Talk to you, Drew. 610-632-0975. And I can't wait to get into this matchup thing because, you know, I love doing this. The Indiana Pacers is game number 1. The Celtics, of course, is the postseason matchup as of right now. So we can go through a whole bunch of that stuff. And we will. Let's go to Corey, though, first here on the Fanatic. What's up, Corey?
Hey, how's it going?
How's it going, man?
All right, man. I called him earlier this year. We were talking about, you know, what the problems was with the Sixers. I think Ben moving to the four would be ideal. You know, it's not that Ben doesn't, you know, especially for me, it's not that I'm knocking Ben. I believe that his skills and his ability, it's one thing to be a big man with a handle, but once you put him in that four spot, he becomes more dynamic. He becomes more like a two guard with the handle, and it opens up opportunities for Ben. I mean, for Embiid. When they paired them two earlier in Ben's career with the Sixers, when they paired them two together, they dominated down low down there. I don't know why they went away from that, but in that position or in that system, Ben's ability is a mismatch when it comes to any other four. When the four sticks him, they're going to have to collapse on defense, and then he'll make the right decision with his passing abilities and his high basketball IQ. So in order for us to get the most out of Ben, we need him in that four spot. I think Shake can maintain the one position. I think with this adjustment, you know, we'll see, we'll have a lot more momentum going into the playoffs.
Okay, let's since we were talking matchups with Aaron, Corey, and you saying that this is a positive thing and Simmons can thrive with Embiid on the floor, let's not look at the Celtics and say Jaylen Brown, because physically he can overpower him. Jaylen Brown is a very, very good defender in this league, though, so I'm not going to underestimate him. I'm just talking physically. Let's go to a team like, let's say the Milwaukee Bucks, where Brook Lopez will defend Joel Embiid. May not work, right? Even though Brook Lopez, I think, is a little underestimated defensively, Giannis is going to defend Ben Simmons. Giannis is going to be the defensive player of the year, probably. So how does that help the Sixers if he is now playing as the four against Giannis?
Well, I mean, Giannis is a freak of nature. So, I mean, he's going to end up being a problem either way. I mean, we've seen Giannis overpower Ben on the block, and we've also seen him go right at Embiid on the block. So I think he's one of those like kind of one-offs to where in order for us to play them, we would have to just let it go as it comes. I mean, you're not going to be able to shut down, you know, every player. You have players that, you know, that do what they do, but it's just not allowing them to get the other players involved.
Okay. So, how about Pascal Siakam?
I think Ben can handle Siakam. Siakam may be a little more physical, but I think Ben can match up well with against Siakam.
Okay. I mean, listen, I think this can work. Corey, thanks for the call, man. I really do. I believe this can work. This experiment that they're putting out there, this could work. This is something that we don't know if this team would have been together had Markelle Fultz worked out and all. Tobias Harris, Jimmy Butler, right? All of these different names, Landry Shamet, J.J. Redick. There are a whole bunch of names that could come into play here. Who knows? We have no idea. But the idea was for Fultz not to just be the backup point guard to Ben, but to be the secondary ball handler on the floor for Ben Simmons to operate away from the ball at all times, to have someone dynamic enough to be a scorer and a facilitator, to be a guy that can do things, a three-level player offensively. So Shake Milton right now is a good piece that Markelle Fultz was supposed to be, right? He's supposed to be that. We know why it didn't happen. Well, we don't know why. We just know the shoulder issue. We don't know why it happened, but the shoulder thing. So this is not necessarily new. I'm guessing they just did not have enough of a candidate that they felt comfortable enough to do this with. Outside of Jimmy Butler once he got here. And then the whole Jimmy Butler alpha mentality versus now Shake and Markelle, younger players. Simmons, maybe that thing just didn't connect well enough because of the alpha of Jimmy Butler versus Fultz and Shake Milton, young players understanding their roles with the team.
And this is something that had to have been in the works with Brett Brown in the front office for quite some time.
All the way back to Markelle Fultz.
Well, and not, I don't mean the role itself. I mean specifically with Shake Milton. And the reason I say that is because you think back to when he got the contract and we all went, wow, that's kind of a preemptive contract for a guy that hasn't done a whole lot, right? And
but,
now
but
you think
it was as a backup point guard.
Right. But they had to have liked something, right? Because it was a bigger deal than what we expected for a backup point guard deal to be. So I'm under the impression that this team and Brett Brown and Elton Brand in the front office and maybe even Ben Simmons to an extent had the understanding that this was going to be the Shake Milton role should he play out the way that they anticipated and hoped that he would play out.
They gave him a 2-year deal. What, like $3 million total? 2 years. I don't know the numbers, but it was a 2-year deal. He lit up the G League. When he was healthy, he tore it up.
Right.
So they rewarded him. They gave him an opportunity. He got hurt in the summer league. We didn't get a chance to see it. He got hurt in the regular season. Didn't get a chance to see it enough. Come back. Later on, plays a role, and he does things. And then I gave you that 9-game stretch at the end of the season where he was doing really well. They weren't necessarily winning all the games, but he was doing really well. 39-point game is highlighted, of course. He can play basketball. We know that. I don't know that this was the role that they had anticipated, and I say that because you don't go give Al Horford that contract without believing that would work and acquiring Josh Richardson. There's no way he was going to the bench either. That was supposed to be your five. Long, defensive, athletic with Simmons, Richardson, of course Embiid a little bit. I mean, he's athletic. He just, again, falls out of shape. And that was supposed to be it. Your weakest defender, Tobias Harris. Your weakest defender now is Shake Milton. Hence, Kemba Walker in round one could be problematic unless they decide to go with Richardson on Walker and take their chances with, let's say, against Gordon Hayward and give up twos instead of threes where Kemba can go off. That being said, I don't know. I think that was strictly a backup point guard thing when they decided to reward him with that 2-year deal. They knew he could score. He can provide some point guard punch, point guard responsibility with some punch of scoring off the bench as well based on seeing what he did and how he did it against those G League players. Maybe not at that level, of course, averaging 27 or whatever he did, but still being able to come off the bench and maybe provide some buckets in bunches for this team. But never did I think that they thought this would be his role eventually. Well, I never thought that.
Totally understood, and you're probably correct on that. So my next question then would be is, it goes back to the conversation of, you know, if Ben Simmons is playing the four, then mm-hmm. Shake's defending whomever. This isn't like matchup basketball. This isn't CYO where it's like you cover the guy that covers you. You know, Ben Simmons could play the four offensively and still guard whoever they deem to be the most essential
piece.
Yeah,
he's still going to get that number one guy.
You know,
on the wing.
I would imagine if they play the Celtics, he's going to cover Tatum, correct?
I would say yes.
Right. So that, I mean, that still leaves you who guards Kemba. That still leaves you that question. But in a different matchup at a different time, it might be a better opportunity for you to have Ben Simmons still be able to defend the point guard, whoever it might be, on the defensive side and then play the four on the offense.
Tough part is look at the matchups that they could potentially have in the playoffs. Kemba Walker, maybe sometimes, but they can work it with Richardson, maybe Shake. This is where you might see Matisse Thybulle in this postseason a little bit because he's had success. But again, he's a rookie. Kemba Walker could make him look silly. Go to Miami. We're talking about Kendrick Nunn, Dragic, Butler with the ball in his hands. I think with that one, Simmons would take Butler. But if it's Kendrick Nunn, they're going to have Shake somewhere around there, but Kendrick Nunn can go off in bunches too. That being said, he's also a young player playing in his first postseason. Toronto Raptors, bad matchup for Shake against Kyle and Van Vliet. Think he can do okay, but one can go off, the other one can go off. Josh Richards can do both, and you can't have Simmons ignoring Siakam the entire time, even though you've had success with Embiid on Siakam. Who's going to defend Gasol? Harris has to stick someone. Is it going to be OG Anunoby? I don't know. We'll see. 610-632-0975. Aaron and King of Prussia. What's up, man?
Hey, what's up, man?
How you feeling?
Good, good. You know most of what I call in about. It's the same tune. Well, I heard the coach today say two things. He said that he has to say what he has to say. He has to stick up for his players and say, Ben Simmons said he's good with whatever's going to help the team. And he's a gamer. He's a Well, no, he's not. I mean, I'm not buying it. If he was good and he wanted to be a team player, he would learn to have shot. And I think really the Sixers have had are in line to be one of the better teams with the break, because they're the ones that you worry about injuries the most. The team with the most injuries with their key players, and now that they're all rested up and they're healthy, it gives the Sixers an advantage, and I also think it gives I think it gives LeBron advantage because he's older and he doesn't have to put out for a whole season and go through the playoffs. So I think those two teams are the teams that could benefit the most. As far as him being great, talking about Simmons being great, I think he has the ability to be great.
Yep.
But the thing that we get frustrated most about it, greatness requires that you put in the work, and you want to be great, and you put in the work. And I just don't – I think most people slight him because they don't see or feel that he's willing to do whatever it is to become the greatest – one of the greatest players in the league. He's satisfied with being good. Like, I'm satisfied with what I have right now, but – You're satisfied with losing when your whole team is looking at you saying, look, the reason why we lost, one of the key reasons why we lost is you can't shoot.
Right.
The other thing I want to say about Simmons' weakness, he has the ability to take anybody to the basket. But you rarely see anybody challenge Ben Simmons at the basket, because the thing is, nobody's going to challenge him once he gets in the air. The thing that they do with Ben Simmons, unlike I've ever seen them do with any other basketball player, is they say, okay, when you start to drive, we're going to get in front of you. So, and then we're going to make you stop and try to get around us, or we're going to make you pass it out. And that is a successful way to defend Ben Simmons. So when I hear he's put on weight, I'm like, that's not a good thing. If he wants to get by those defenders, he needs to be elusive and be able to, move his body and get around those defenders. Because the biggest thing is, like, look, I'm a little guy. I know you can't. I know I got no chance if you go up against me. So when you get about 6 feet from the basket, I'm going to set myself up to take a charge. And that's going to throw you totally off your game because you can't get by me. So he's got to work on those things to be great. And he's not – there's nothing for the coach to come back. The one thing I want to hear Brett Brown say is, look, these guys have put in work. They're ready to come back. They worked on their weaknesses, and we got a better team. But to hear him say, I'm moving him, because that implies he still can't shoot.
Well, listen, man, thanks for the call, Aaron. Always good to hear from you. I know how you feel, and you just laid it out. Listen, we'll take a quick break, Brian. Hang on, man. David, Fred, three open phone lines. If you want to jump in, 610-632-0975. Keep this going. We have to go through the matchups again, and we'll take your phone calls when we get back right here on The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Javon Givens on 97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
831-97.5 The Fanatic. Yvonne Givens with Tyler Zuli, 610-632-0975. Then we have this audio from First Take where I kind of dread playing it. It's about the Sixers. Marcus Spears, who's not saying anything. Jay Williams and Stephen A. Smith. You know, we're doing a show, so we can't ignore it. Normally, I would just go right by this because of what the discussion is. There's no need for it right now. But, of course, it's there, and we have to share it with you. We will. 610-632-0975. Oh, goodness. Let's go to Brian in Plymouth Meeting. What's up, B?
Yo, D. How's it going?
What's going on, man?
It's very nice to be talking about actual sports again.
It's coming back.
Hopefully we get there.
Let's hope so.
So I do think that overall it's kind of much ado about nothing. And I will preface this with, I mean, I like Shake. I feel like I've always been higher on him than most.
Yes, you have.
And he does have like a 3-year hinky special contract. Like we've got him under contract for 2 more years. So.
Yeah.
With that being said, I mean, okay, so the one thing we've seen from his whole career is he can't stay on the court. And I don't know how you could be confident that he would be able to hold up through 2, 3, 4 rounds of playoff basketball. And as you've noticed, we have nobody else that can come in and run a pick and roll. Like, Neto should not be playing in the playoffs no matter what.
Zero.
Burke should not be playing in the playoffs no matter what. So, I mean, I think they're probably trying to just use this as a training camp. Like, okay, well, we'll put in some different pick and roll sets. We know how to do the dribble handoff stuff. We've been doing that for years now. But let's try to get some different stuff in there. But if Shake goes down, maybe Josh Richardson could do it, but not efficiently.
No.
So are you going to change their entire offense on the basis of if Milton goes down, you're totally out of luck? That doesn't make any sense.
Right, and that's why when the caller asked who was the backup point guard, I'm like, it's Ben Simmons and it's Shake Milton, and a distant third would be Josh Richardson. That's what it's going to be.
And if the ball's back in Simmons' hands, then we're not going to be running pick and roll. We're going to be running the offense that we've seen for the past 3 or 4 years.
Yep. The only thing I would like for them to incorporate is some of the J.J. Redick stuff with Josh Richardson, and not necessarily for the three-pointers. I'm talking about the running off that screen off of Embiid along the baseline, right? That pick play right there, and then he comes around, and
mm-hmm.
I'm okay with the mid-range jumper, and I said it when they made the move for him. His explosion to the rim is something that was not an element that J.J. Redick had. Of course, he had the knockdown jumper, where Richardson may not be knocked down. He's good enough. But he adds that to that particular play of the offense. And once he does that a couple of times, then that opens things up for Embiid, because now they're going to have to make a decision on what they want to do.
Yeah, 100%. And we've only seen
it with Furkan Korkmaz. And I'm like, do this with Richardson a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like any kind of motion that's making the other team work and expend energy, that's good. And we didn't see the real Richardson after the first hamstring injury this year, so hopefully he's in good shape to do that.
Yeah.
And it kind of goes to, Richardson's job is going to be to handle the primary initiator on the other team. So if it came out against the Celtics and Shake Milton's guarding Kemba Walker, like that's coaching malpractice. There's no way that should happen.
Yeah, that's why I say he'll get destroyed. But that's why you maybe slide him over to Hayward or something and...
They'll be hiding him. Where they would run into trouble would be a team like Toronto that has two small quick guards that can both be primary initiators, and then there will be nowhere for Shake to hide, which is another problem if, you know, putting all your eggs in the Shake basket.
And then the other thing is they'll, like you said, they'll hide him, but they'll now make their offense where they go find him. Let's go seek him out, get him caught up in this mismatch, and let's take advantage of him.
Yeah, but if the Celtics are forcing the ball to Jaylen Brown, that's a win for the Sixers. And
sure.
If Jaylen Brown kills you, then okay, well then Jaylen Brown just killed you. But that he's like their fifth option. So, you know, that's the thing about hiding a guy. Like, if the other team, it only works if the other team can efficiently exploit it when they go after him.
Well, but that's what I'm saying. If it's more of the Shake being on someone else, not named Kemba Walker, and then they try to get Kemba Walker matched up with him off of that pick, then that's where. then that's where, of course, he's looking to do his thing, and he's going to get shaken to a, you know, a problem.
Yeah, possibly. I don't know. I'm not worried about Kemba.
No, you're not.
But, yeah, I don't know. I'm pretty confident. I feel like just where these guys are in their lives, it's kind of a happy accident where I think that they're not too troubled with disrupting their lives to go in this bubble. So I feel like that's kind of a positive. I got some high hopes that we can make a little run here.
Well, it's going to be fun to watch it, man. Thanks for the call, as always. Thanks for the great insight. We do have to. We've been ignoring Bubble Watch because we've been so heavy on Simmons. Of course, we'll get to Bubble Watch and what's been going on inside that bubble. Fred, listen to this real quick. This is First Take. Dave, Fred, listen to this before you guys come on, because I want you to talk about this as well. We try not to do it. Everyone else does it, and I don't like it. Here is Stephen A. Smith first with Jay Williams.
Can these two work together? And if they can't, then who do you build your team around? And I've said it multiple times, considering Joel Embiid's history of injuries and not knowing which way the league is moving as far as traditional bigs, I would have a tendency, if they can't get it done with Brett Brown, and if they do have to make a decision to split them up, I would build a team around Ben Simmons rather than Joel Embiid.
When you're talking about Ben Simmons, you're talking about him employing an attribute he may not utilize it enough. Well, there's a reason he doesn't utilize it. He can't shoot. That's the problem. If Ben Simmons could shoot, he would be the league MVP. He's that bad of a brother. This brother's something special. Everything else he has, he just doesn't have a perimeter shot. When he gets a perimeter shot, it might not be fair to watch Ben Simmons against the rest of the league, because he's that lethal in every other category. So we understand that. But because that is not the case, and because Brett Brown is a factor, who is the X factor to neutralize all of that? Ben Simmons' shooting deficiency, Brett Brown's coaching, Al Horford's ageism kicking in and stuff like this. All of that stuff. Who's the one person that can nullify all of that? And that is a monster named Joel Embiid.
All right. Let's take a deep breath. My goodness.
That's something that that Stephen A. didn't do. That entire clip there was take a deep breath.
He did not.
I don't think he breathed a minute.
He just came out firing. Listen, we know the audio. That was their audio. So the way they chopped it up and he came in kind of hot, that was on, I don't know. We didn't see it. We know he does that. But why do they have to do that? Why? I mean, the question was more important for 76ers and restart, Simmons or Embiid. Clearly it's Embiid because he's your best player. But then they get into the whole, who would you build? Talk about what's more important right now.
Well, much like what Kendrick Perkins did last week to us, the reason they do it is because we're here talking about it.
And he chimed in on Twitter. He, you know, this is his tweet. Joel Embiid is not a traditional big based on what you just heard. He's a generational talent, one of one. Just saying. Even still. As much as we say that about Embiid, that he is that good, I'm still not happy with Kendrick Perkins championing what we say. I don't need that.
These guys know how to push the right buttons.
Why do they do this?
Every time we think we can have a legitimate Sixers conversation, these guys yank us back in with the... who would you rather have if you only had to keep one? Guess what, morons?
They're both
under contract.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's just, sorry. We had to share that. Sorry. Fred Berwin. Fred, did you hear that, Fred?
Hey, Devon. How are you, man? I can't believe I just heard that.
I've
had some good talks with you, Devon, so I really enjoy it.
Thank you. You as well.
I almost hung up, not because of you, obviously, but to hearing Stephen A. yelling like that. Jesus, crazy. Insane. Okay, I want to make a point here. A little different twist than everyone else, what everyone else is making, and I hope you appreciate this because you're a great hoops guy. I played locally here, and I went up to, played up in Western Massachusetts in college, went to Williams College, a small school You know, they've gone to the Final Four in Division III several times. Anyway, and my late coach was great friends with Popovich. So there's a lot of pedigree. I was very fortunate my senior year. I'm not trying to waste your time, but I averaged 18 points a game and 10 rebounds, so I can play a little bit of ball. Anyway, bottom line is, a few years ago, they had a guy named Duncan Robinson who played there, who transferred to Michigan. Being a hoops guy, I'm sure you know who Duncan Robinson is. Mm-hmm. And he played a good ball at Michigan, and he's a killer shooter. And he plays at Miami now, as you probably know, and yep. Jimmy Butler loves playing with him.
Yes.
So here's my point in connecting all the dots here. Because everyone's arguing about where Simmons should be, number four, number this, number there. We need, on the Sixers, and Miami's not going to give him up, but we need, we've talked about it over the years, an absolute killer shooter. I mean, Korkmaz times two, you know, and I'm not convinced that he's a great shooter all the time. But Duncan Robinson, I'm just a huge fan of this guy, Devon. He's a great, great shooter. I'm biased. He went to my college and then he went to Michigan.
And I got
to
be honest with you, Fred, I didn't see this coming from him in the league. I mean, I didn't think he would be this good of a shooter in the league. My last memory, of course, was him playing against Villanova in the championship game, and they wiped him out, and you know, they took him out of the game. And I just didn't know how it would now translate to the NBA. Spent some time in the G League in their system, but they are one of, if not the best, developmental teams in the league, Miami, and it worked out.
That's exactly right, Devon.
It worked out.
But he's elevated from what you just said. So you have good knowledge as usual. He's elevated. He's better and better. Butler loves playing with him.
Yep.
I mean, I know this because he's the greatest guy. He's the nicest guy you'd ever want to meet too. And he is the kind of guy to me, and because everyone's thrashing about what Simmons' role is, that kind of a killer shooter on a team would be the absolute best thing for the Sixers, because then Ben could go do his thing, whatever that is. You know, he's skilled. And Breed can do his thing. And then they would always have the threat of a Duncan Robinson who just kills people from like 25 feet on. And you know, that's one of the reasons Miami's better. I'm sure you know that. You know, they have, because everyone's talking about Butler and Robinson and everything. But Robinson, he's an absolute stiletto shooter, Devon. I'm not kidding you.
No, I know, and, man. And he would have been tremendous here had they found him and been able to help him out in that way. The development, of course, again, of Miami, would that have happened here? I don't know, but that man has created a great path for himself. He's going to make some money in this league because he can flat out stroke it.
Yeah, well, good. I'm glad you. I just thought you'd be interested in that insight, because I think that that would be the key. I mean, I don't think Simmons is going to necessarily change Devon. If he had a killer shooter like that, he could do his thing and whatever, you know, whatever creativity he'd want to bring to the table, he could do.
It's up to them to find that player. Fred, thanks for the call, man. Always a good conversation with you. Appreciate it. It is up to them to find that type of shooter. Unfortunately, the news that has come out about Ryan Brokoff, his wife testing positive for COVID-19, he is not with the team. He did not travel to Florida, to Orlando, because of that and because of her immune system. Unfortunately, you know, with her, some conditions she has, they of course have to be very careful. They have a young child. He has to make sure he is there for his wife and child as well, to make sure they're good. And this is what we talked about when all this stuff really got going, of how these things are going to play out. Players making decisions based off of family issues, their own concern, and not liking the whole protocol from the NBA. This is one that we now found out hit the Sixers, because Brokoff was looked to not necessarily be Duncan Robinson. That would be nice. That would be nice. But he has to stay away from the team because of family first. Yep, family first. 610-632-0975.
No issue there?
None.
I mean, there shouldn't be.
Absolutely not. And we'll get to, we haven't said anything with the tweets. We have a bunch of them. We'll get to those in the 9 o'clock hour. And we'll go inside the bubble. We'll go in the bubble. Check up in the bubble. Rajon Rondo, karma. I don't know. David in Connecticut. What's up, Dave?
Hey.
What's going on, man?
Nothing much, man. I moved to Connecticut about a month or so, 2 months ago.
How you like it?
I love it. I was born in Stanford.
Okay.
I came back home to visit my mother for her born day, and I'm all excited, like, yo, I ain't heard no sister talk. And I turn on 97.5, and all I hear is, I'm scared. Duncan Robinson is so much better. Stop. First of all, I'm a filmmaker. I'm not a sports person per se. Like, I didn't want that for a career, but I think I know basketball pretty well. And I don't recall ever thinking that Shaq Milton was a horrible defender. As a matter of fact, I recall thinking Shaq was better than I thought he was. I don't recall watching
this year.
This year,
okay.
This year, first of all, I don't know what people would want from him. Because I've seen Ben Simmons, who's one of the best defenders in the league, get taken on a regular basis by people. You understand? So I don't know what we want from him. But I think that what's disappointing to me about what I hear the verbiage is that we're spending so much time looking at everyone else's plays. There was nothing that Shaq did in that 9 games that he played or that stretch where that was unsustainable. There was not a single 3-point shot he took that I was like, he couldn't make that on a normal basis. So I think that
once we saw him confidently taking those shots and knocking them down, then of course no one had an issue with it. At first glance, you might say, oh, wait a minute, what are you doing? But once he started getting into that groove and he had it rolling, there was nothing wrong with it.
Same thing with the players you're naming. Like, for instance, the one thing I will say to combat, like you brought up about if he had to play Kemba Walker or guard him, whatever, the thing about it is, we forget Kemba has to guard him. So if Kemba, who's their leading scorer, gets 30, and our kid, who he has to guard, gets 15, that's a wash. We're in good shape. I think we feel like as if that he has to come in here and be, first of all, I don't know any knockdown shooters in Brett Brown's system. His system doesn't run like that. And Duncan Robinson shoots 45%, and our young guy shot 43%. We don't have to have one guy that's just J.J. Redick. And remember, J.J. Redick missed a lot of shots in big games. So it's not like he was, you know, a Kyle.
Yeah, but I would still say he was knocked down.
He was knocked down.
For J.J. He just had he had some bad second rounds.
Right, but I do too. But I also will hold that against him.
Yeah, yeah, so absolutely.
You know what my disappointment is?
Especially game 5 against the Celtics when he had that one on the left wing and he flat out clanked.
Well, I guess I'm calling because I'm disappointed to know that, like, yo, honestly, y'all sound scared. We got 9 games. We ain't got no time to be scared. We ain't got no time to be talking about what Ben can't do. And I'm looking at everybody like, yo, this is the energy thing. These guys get energy from us. It's one thing for people outside to nitpick, but it's another thing for us to sound scared. And regarding Stephen A. Smith and all them, I don't take anyone seriously who never believed in this process in the first place.
Dave
Williams set up. Kendrick, shut up. You all said it would never work. But now that it's working, now all this pressure on Joel and Ben, get out of here and sit down. What they say means nothing to me as a fan.
Uh-oh.
You can complain.
Everyone because I'm here. All right, fair enough.
All of us who was here in the process who was like, believed in it.
Oh, I didn't.
You didn't? Well, then you can't really talk either because we went, right?
All right, so I'll finish. I'll change the topic.
But as far as the outsiders, like, no one ripped the system, that situation more than Stephen A. Smith. So that's why when I watch him sometimes, I'm like, how do you have the audacity to have expectations? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, but, you know, for me as a Sixers fan, being away from this area, I'm a Joel Embiid guy. I love Ben as well. I do think, unfortunately, Ben not taking jumpers is what really hurts his team. But I don't think he's ever had anyone look him in the face and be like, yo, bro, we all out there throwing punches and he refused to throw a punch. I did.
Tobias Harris this year. I was sitting in here. I was watching it. There was a play. It was a positive play. But Simmons had an opportunity to shoot it, and the way the defense defended them, Tobias Harris went down the floor. The team called the timeout. Tobias kind of gave him that, you know how you play and you get that look of disgust, but still, you know, you slap your guy 5, but like, yo, you needed to shoot that right there.
But that's what I'm saying.
I
have a friend that does security, and I've heard certain situations, and my thing is like, no, like I told him that, no, Ben needs a teammate that will literally get in a fist fight with him at practice.
Oh, yeah, that's not going to happen because Ben won't fight.
You know, like, he literally needs somebody to jump in his neck like, yo, but at the end of the day, you know, I kind of look at, that's why I have trouble wanting to fire Brett Brown. But then there's a part of it that wants to get rid of Brett Brown. So I'm like, you let Ben get here, but then Ben won't shoot. But we don't have time for that. And I really believe strongly that in a couple of months, we will be holding that trophy up.
All right, man. Well, Dave, we'll be talking about it if they do it, because
and I'll be the first one to call, brother.
I appreciate like I it. You so. Got it, man. Safe travel. I hope everything's good up there with mom and all, man. We'll talk to you soon. 610-632-0975. Again, someone who's very confident with the Philadelphia 76ers.
And it's funny, too, because the conversation seems to go in a couple of directions, but everything always stems back to this, 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 and this. And I still believe they're going to win the championship. Every time. It's amazing.
That's why I always tell you, you just heard him, right? He said, I don't care what they say outside. You know how we say about Simmons? Everybody here, you can get on him. If you're not from here, if you're not here.
It's like your little brother.
Hold on. Don't talk about him. That's ours. You can't talk about them. No, get away. Step off. 610-632-0975. Guys, we have open phone lines for the first time. We'll give you Brett's stuff from the post-game, post-practice conversation with the media. We will go into the bubble and give you bubble watch, and we'll talk about some of the other things that's been going on around sports as well. 610-632-0975. Tyler Zuli, Devon Givens, until 10 here on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.